Thank you, Mr. Wilkins, and thank you all for your kind welcome and the fellowship we have with you in the Lord. I'd like to read some verses together with you. First of all, I'd like to look at three incidents in the book of the Acts. We might turn to the 8th chapter, Acts chapter 8. We'll read from the 4th verse. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now down to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, and the Candace queen of the Ethiopians, had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Finally, in the 10th chapter, verse 13, and there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Verse 20. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And just in the final moments of our conference, I want to turn your thoughts to these three pictures. You know, these three chapters come to us in a very important part of the book of the Acts. This very wonderful book, which shows us and tells us something of our risen Lord in his continuing working amongst his people, shows us something of the tremendous transformation that was taking place as the old things were passing away, as the old order was giving place to the new, as the things that had been established for so long were giving place to something that was new and wonderful. But you know, in these chapters, 7, 8, 9, and 10, we see how the transformation was taking place. In the early chapters of Acts, we find that for the most part, the gospel is to the Jew. The work is centered on Jerusalem. And Peter seems to be the foremost character in bringing the gospel to the Jew. But when we turn on to chapter 12 and 13, we find that the whole picture has changed. And here we find that the whole emphasis has shifted. It's no longer centered on Jerusalem. It's spreading out to the utmost parts of the earth. It's no longer wholly concentrated on the Jew. We find now that the gospel is being preached to the Gentiles, and souls are being gathered in, and churches established under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want for a few moments tonight just to share with you these three pictures. How these three men were involved in the change that was taking place, and how the Holy Spirit dealt with them in order that they might be equipped and fitted for this work that he had for them to do. It's never easy to take change. Most of us find it very difficult, and the older we get, the harder it seems. But I believe we're living in days when the pattern of our work for the Lord is changing rapidly. We're all finding ourselves up against the problem of how to reach those that are without Christ. We're all aware that very largely, as far as our assembly witness is concerned, we are not touching the masses of people round about us. And may often I believe that many of us have deep heart searchings about this. We see the masses of people, we are conscious of our weakness to touch them, and we realize that very often as assemblies, we are not seeing a contact with those that are without Christ. The days have changed. There was a time when people would have walked freely, perhaps, into our gospel services, when it was easier to reach people, when they were more ready to listen to the gospel. But today, this isn't quite so. Things have changed. And maybe we're all concerned as to how we can reach those that are without Christ. I believe that God was training these three men for the new thing, the new sphere of service, for the new thing that was coming into being. But we'll see in a moment as we look that it wasn't without a great deal of heart searching. It wasn't without a great deal of agony in their minds. But they were men that were ready to be used by the Holy Spirit. Men who, while they found difficulty in accepting a new situation, were burdened and concerned. And the Holy Spirit placed his hand upon them and guided them. They were prepared to do that which the Lord had for them. Let's go back to chapter 8 for a moment. And let's have, first of all, a lesson in the importance of personal witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrilling experience it must have been for Philip there in Samaria. The Lord was doing great things in Samaria, and souls were being added. The whole city had turned to the Lord. I can't help feeling that in some ways there had been an influence of a woman behind this scene, a woman that had met the Lord on the well, and she had heard wonderful words from his lips. And she had gone back to the city and began to sow the seed. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Thank God for the ministry of our sisters that do this faithful work for him. She had done a faithful work for God. And when Philip came preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole city turned unto the Lord. And then there was a sudden change. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. He was a man out in the desert. A man that was seeking for God. A man that was reading in his chariot the very words of Isaiah concerning the suffering servant of Jehovah. But the man didn't understand the words. The man was ignorant of the things that he was reading. But his heart was yearning for light. His heart was burning to know the truth. And as he read the word, the Lord laid his hand upon Philip and said, I want you to leave that work. I want you to come with me right down to the desert of Gaza. I wonder, brethren, whether you and I would have responded to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we would not have argued as to the prosperity of the work at Samaria. I wonder whether we would not have said, Lord, but you can't take me away from this. Why, this is important. Look what's happening. But here we see a wonderful emphasis in the Word of God of the Lord's care for the individual. And the Lord brought his servant right the way down to the desert to meet the man. First of all, there's the successful campaign the apparently settled work. Then there's the strange command. Listen to the words. Arise and go. Arise and go. And here's a man who is ready to obey. A man in touch with the Lord. A man to whom the Holy Spirit could bring his word of direction and who would respond no matter what the situation. And the Lord brought him down to the desert to meet the man in his need. Brethren and sisters in Christ, everywhere today, there are men and women that are hungry, that are seeking. Maybe they don't even know what they're seeking for. The picture isn't quite so black as sometimes it appears on the surface. And in the hearts of many men and women, there are questions being asked that no one can answer. There are problems that no one seems to be able to meet. But the Lord has entrusted to you and I His word of truth. We boast in our knowledge of the Scriptures. We glory in our ability in the things of God. Praise the Lord for the life that He's given to us. But there are many that need your help. I wonder if you have ever thought of the importance of personal work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you can't be a Philip. Maybe you couldn't run a great crusade. Maybe you couldn't carry on a big campaign. But I believe every one of us, if we were willing to let the Lord, could get alongside somebody that doesn't know the answer and give them the answer. Philip began the same scripture and he just preached unto him Jesus. There's the first challenge. The challenge of the personal work. The person that you work alongside. God has put you alongside those people for a personal purpose. The people that live in your street. Your relations. Your neighbors. Your friends. And in many of their hearts today, there are questions arising. There are people that come to their doorsteps and bring to them a pernicious gospel that's not a gospel. Their minds are confused. They don't know the truth, but they're searching. And I believe the Spirit of God today is looking for men and women who are in touch with Him, that He might say to you, arise. And go. It was a strange consignment, but it had the hand of God upon it, and the result could never have been in doubt. The seeking man was led to the seeking Savior through the lips of a servant that was called by God, that responded to him, that was willing to go and leave the great crusade to care for a man that had a need. He has to be taught a lesson in the importance of the individual before God. Just think of the tremendous possibilities of a meeting like this tonight. If every one of us could respond as he responded to the Holy Spirit, think of the increase for God in the place where the Lord has. Oh, don't let us leave all the evangelism to the dear brother who occupies the platform on a Sunday night. Don't feel when we go home on a Sunday evening that we've done all that's necessary in the matter of evangelism. Why is it that so often in our Sunday evening meetings we fail to see the faces of those that are strangers to the grace of God? Maybe because we have faith in our personal witness for Him. May you hear the call of God tonight, arise and go. Let me take you to the next picture. And here we have a picture of Ananias. Notice what it says in verse 11, the same words coming in again. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go. And here's a very different consignment. Here's a very important lesson in the matter of fellowship. He, this man Saul of Tarsus, he was a real terror. He had been the plague of the churches. Why, everybody was in fear of him. He didn't have a good reputation. Brethren, I wonder if he came to us in our assembly, how we would have reacted against Saul of Tarsus. But here's a man, and he is in need of help. The Lord has met him in the Damascus way. The Lord has changed his life. The Lord has a plan for him. The Lord has a purpose for this servant of his. But ere that purpose can be accomplished, there must be those that will open their arms of love to him and receive him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ananias, said the Lord, arise and go. And Ananias did what I would have done and what we all do. But Lord, Lord, we've heard all about this fellow. Why, he's a terrible trouble. We couldn't do this, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, because he's a chosen vessel unto me. Brethren and sisters in Christ, I have indicated to you tonight that one of the problems that I have seen and am seeing throughout this state of New South Wales is that many souls who perhaps for years have gathered in their various chapels and churches, many of these are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there they are not being fed. There they are not finding the help that they need. There they are searching for something more and deeper and truer. And the Lord has given to us a very precious heritage. I don't know why you gather with an assembly of the Lord's people. Perhaps you just gather because it was circumstantial. Perhaps you just gathered because it was the place where you were converted. I pray, God, that you gather with that local company of believers, because in your own experience, as you have searched the Word, you have discovered as a believer that that is the place where the Lord would have you to be. Let's make no mistake about it. We're not perfect. But the Lord has given to us some light, some truth. We rejoice in it. I believe today that we have a fellowship to offer to those that are seeking for it. It may well be that there will be doubts in our hearts. It may well be that there are sometimes anxieties. But I believe that Ananias was prepared to trust the Holy Spirit with regard to the coming of this man. It was the doing of God. And as modernism creeps into the churches of this land, there are those in those churches who recognize it. I sat alongside a dear lady who I visited, who'd been listening to the radio, and she was a Methodist lady. She was very loyal to her church. She had been there for many years. I could see as I talked to her that she was a keen Christian. I said to her, why do you listen to this radio program? Well, she said, I must be honest. I don't hear in my church what I hear there. I said, are you satisfied with what you hear in your church? She said, I confess I'm not. It doesn't help me. And I believe that many today are in this same predicament. One of the tragedies I find is that so often that those who have such light and truth are not open-hearted to receive whom the Lord receives. Ananias, said the Lord, I want you to go and take that man to your heart. But Lord, go, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And Ananias opened his heart, and he opened his home, and he received him in the Lord. What a blessing it was. What a joy came into his life. Arise and go. And he showed him fellowship. You notice that in this picture the home is very much in prominence here. We've been reminded about this tonight. I think, you know, there's a tremendous sphere of opportunity if as believers we're prepared to use those homes that God has given to us as centers of witness. Oh, I realize, brethren, that it has its problems. I realize that sometimes we're a little hesitant. I confess that such activity must always have the full agreement of the assembly of the Lord's people. It must always have the care of the elders of the local church. But there's a tremendous opportunity. For while people will not come into our gospel hall, there are occasions when they'll come in and have a cup of coffee and a chat about the things of God. Arise and go, Ananias. And his heart was open to receive the man that God sent. And just lastly, in the 10th chapter, just notice the gaze here. Peter is going through the mill. Poor Peter. I don't blame him. I suppose I'd have felt just the same as he did. All his life he'd been thrilled in these things. And here was a challenge to go and take the gospel to a Gentile. And here's the answer of Peter in verse 14. Not so, Lord. Someone has well said, and I think it's worth noting, that you can't put those three words really together. You can never say, not so, to God and Lord at the same time. The Lord was bringing before Peter the need of a new experience, the need of a new beginning, the need of the man that was praying down there seeking for God. And the Lord is seeking to move the heart of Peter in this new direction. And Peter is going through all the agonies of a man in the throes of a change. Not so, Lord. I have never done it. But the Lord said to him, arise and go, and don't doubt. And I want you to notice that the third lesson is a lesson in obedience. In obedience. First, a lesson in witness. Arise and go. Second, a lesson in fellowship. Arise and go. And third, a lesson in obedience. Arise and get thee down. Nothing doubting, for I have sent them. There, knocking at the door of Peter, was a knee pressing upon the very bounds of the house in where he was, a man seeking help. And the first reaction of Peter is, not so, Lord. I want to say to every young fellow here tonight and every young sister in Christ, have you ever heard the call of God with regard to service? Oh, I don't mean to go necessarily to India or to China or to New Guinea. I don't mean necessarily out to full-time work in New South Wales or Australia, but the call of God to service. Have you ever felt the need of those that are without Christ about you? And are you saying tonight in your heart, not so, Lord, not so, Lord? If you're saying not so, it's because he is not the Lord. He is not the Lord. For when Christ is truly Lord, when he is Lord in our heart, it will always be the language of Isaiah, here am I, send me. What wilt thou have me to do? And when our hearts are in that condition before the Lord, then the Lord can give us the instructions that he wants to give us as to what he would have us to do. Not so, Lord. But let's go down, shall we, and just see, first of all, there was Peter's doubt, and here's his great discovery. In verse 34, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Peter made a great discovery. He discovered that God had a plan for Cornelius, just as much as God had a plan for him. And God has a plan for you. And God's plan for your life involves you in the highest service that anyone can ever take part in, to be workers together with God. And I wonder tonight, as we have listened to these missionary letters, as we have listened to these missionary reports, as we have thought of the work in New South Wales, and God says to you, "Look, there's a need knocking at your door in the district where you live, in the place where I put you, and I want you to serve with me in the service of winning souls for Christ." It's going to be demanding. It's going to be costly. It's going to involve you in prayer, heart searching, sometimes tears and anxiety. And I wonder tonight if perhaps not in word, but in deed, we're saying, "Not so, Lord, not so." I pray, God, tonight that you'll make the great discovery that God was not only concerned for your soul, but he's concerned for others too. And he wants you to serve him in this way. Let's go down to verse 47 of chapter 10. Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And there's the criteria by which Peter defended the action that he took. He hadn't taken it in the energy of the flesh. He hadn't done it for his own sake. He hadn't done it to please himself. God had set his seal upon the work, in that the Holy Spirit had been given to the Gentiles too. You know, there isn't a greater thrill can come to the life of any Christian than to have seen the seal of God upon that little service that you render for him. An education in personal witness for Christ. Arise and go. There's a man down there that needs your help. Go and get alongside him and teach him from the word of God. Arise and go. There's a man down there that's crying out for fellowship. Arise and go. Arise and go. There's a Cornelius there that wants light, that wants your help, and God wants to overcome your reluctance, and he wants you to say tonight, not so, Lord, but here am I. What will you have me to do? I pray, God, that the outcome of this missionary conference today will not be that we'll go back to our complacency, but that we'll go back with stirred hearts. Not for a week or a fortnight, but with a purpose in our hearts. Because of the need, because of the love of God to you, because of all that Christ has done in your experience, that you will yearn to share these things, that you will hear the call of God tonight saying to you, "Arise and go." Shall we pray together? Our God and Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, from our hearts tonight we praise you for thy great love and grace toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you too, Lord, for thy love in seeking us and in wooing us to thyself. We thank you for the patient work of thy Holy Spirit in our hearts that has brought us to this very place tonight. Father, for those of us today who have been the recipients of these things, Lord, move our hearts. Give us a vision of the need. Help us to see the need of our fellow men, those about us, without Christ. Lord, open our hearts that we might be responsive to the Holy Spirit. And grant, Lord, that we may no longer just be content with what we have, but long to share these things with others. Lord, may thy Spirit tonight teach us the lessons of witness, the lessons of fellowship, and the lessons of obedience, that, Lord, tonight we might be willing to do thy will and become witnesses in the power of thy Spirit to our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, part us with thy blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, be with us all and with all who love and serve thee this night, until the Lord Jesus comes again. Amen.